Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM, and the time remaining, Phil Connon is here. We're going to chew on some matters.
Well, Phil, I want to ask you about this headline, which the Globe and Mail has been beating the drum about China for a couple of weeks now. It's more every day. Today they have an editorial that says, "For China, the rule of law is a foreign idea." And well, what's up with that? Why would they say that?
Well, I think it shows the this is a sober elite newspaper, and when they write like that, a highly belligerent, subjective tone, you think maybe maybe they're in trouble. You know, they're beating the table because they don't have a good case. I would think is part of it. Last week on the show, we spoke to Stephen Gowans, and we have a foreign minister who says that this is a rule of law country, we only comport and deal with people who, like ourselves, have these high values. The number one country we're speaking of that has these high values and embodies them is, of course, the United States. I know she would agree with that, except that it came up in the Gowans interview that there are problems, for example, in the South China Sea, and they need to be worked on and resolved according to the United Nations Treaty, which was signed by 196 countries, outlining the issues, the laws of the sea, and then pointing towards how to resolve them, how they would have to be resolved by the signatories. But there was one country that was not a signatory. United States. Now, by the way, and even there they used invisible ink. What they did was it was signed, but it wasn't ratified. So it's one of those things where now you see it, now you don't. So it doesn't apply to them.
Yeah, so they get to accuse other countries of violating it.
Oh, yeah, they're very quick about that.
Right.
They know.
Well, you can't accuse them because they say, well, we haven't ratified it, so we're not bound by it.
But they're not bound by it. So here we are with this little tight-lipped malarkey position that we're rule of law when the great power that we're dealing with laughs at the rule of law and says, no, the international court doesn't apply to us, never could apply to us, and therefore, defines itself, whether you're talking about American liberals, Hillary Clinton, Obama, Joe Biden, whose name is in the papers. The New York Times today is urging Joe Biden to run. And by the way, Joe, please do. We need a joke. Otherwise, it's going to be – he is a master of faux pas. We want him to run. But so whether you're talking about liberals or conservatives, they all have the same position. They are an exceptional country. And I would tell Ms. Freeland, that's a pirate. When a guy says that he's armed to the teeth and gives you a little shove and he says the law doesn't apply to me, that's called a pirate. That is not rule of law. And if you believe in rule of law, you better run, get your badge, and come back and arrest him, although I wouldn't recommend you try. But let's not kid ourselves, I have a question apropos of this, our problem. On the weekend, the prime minister, last Friday, I think, said, China's holding a Canadian, Mr. Kovrig, and he said they're not recognizing that he has diplomatic status. Now, that's really a troubling business because that was not their argument, number one. They had various arguments.
Right.
And so what he is, according to the book, according to information is Mr. Kovrig had been a diplomat. Then he stops being a diplomat, but remains in China, keeping all of his, I assume, phone numbers, associations, probably apartment, whatever. He goes about his business. And he goes to work for the International Crisis Group. And he writes for them. He wrote an article in Miami Herald telling China they should join the Lima Group and persecute Venezuela, for example. By the way, the article was taken down. I don't know why. But I noticed nobody mentions, because you're not supposed to say it, but George Soros is the founder and promoter and impresario of the International Crisis Group. So you can be I want to ask them, you really, if that's a policy, Someone can serve as a diplomat and then stop serving as a diplomat. And you guys are professionals. You can stop serving as a diplomat and take a job with the International Crisis Group, which is not in the field of diplomacy. Mr. Soros and his organization are an advocacy organization. They are not welcome, actually, in a lot of countries. Now, Canada probably thinks they should be welcome. That's all well and good. But I think most Canadians would be a little surprised to know that you have a career as a diplomat. At least that's what it says on the paper there. He's an information man. They say he gathered information in somewhat unorthodox ways. And then he...
Well, isn't gathering information in unorthodox ways another word for spying?
Yeah, well, people say, yeah, it doesn't sound right. But, I suppose, I'm sure he's pure as a driven snow. He's a Canadian, for crying out loud. He wouldn't do anything bad. But I can understand why I would think Canadians would want to know. Really, should we be doing that? A guy works as a diplomat and then he works for Soros, and by the way, he goes to work for Soros, and I say Soros because I assume he owns the job, I think. Well, let's call it International Crisis Group. And his job, he immediately is called a senior advisor or senior analyst. How do you get to be senior analyst? What, just overnight? There's no apprenticeship? So I can see why you might have some confusion on the part of the host government because, according to them, maybe they're wrong, but they say that, foreign organizations that operate in their country register. They notify the government, we're here, and it's up to the government to say yes or no. Canada does that. Somebody says, I want to set up an operation, and Canada says, you have to register. You don't just...
And the U.S. does that. They will.
Oh, right now they're picking up Russian Americans and saying, "Oh, you're an agent of a foreign state." So these things will happen. So, but I would really just put the idea that if you have a diplomatic corps, and then they ought not to take second jobs. If for example, he says, "Well, Chief, I've had it. I've done enough diplomatic work." Quotes. Italics. Now I'm going to take a job with this organization, which is an advocacy group. I think the response from the government should be, no. We have you signed up there as a diplomat. And if you're going to withdraw, that's fine. You withdraw. But you don't now do that because you're going to be the host government is going to think you're leveraging something. And they're going to think we're in on it. And we're not. See, we're not in. We don't think that's a good idea. We like to keep those two things separate. So, and the Globe and the Star and those are not helping us with this question. Shouldn't somebody at the Star write a little editorial? Should a diplomat, somebody who works in it as a diplomat, take a second job, which is an advocacy within the same national context? They're in a foreign state. My answer is no, actually. And why don't we just shake on it and say to China, you got a point there, no hard feelings. But meanwhile, we are holding a Chinese businesswoman for the Americans because she violated an American law, not a Canadian law. And I saw on the weekend that Ms. Freeland is very concerned about, rights of women, and she takes a stand. There's a 42-year-old businesswoman. She's not a criminal. And as Jeffrey Sachs, the Harvard brilliant guy, says, look, companies that have violated U.S. Laws, et cetera, they pay fines. You don't arrest the executive of the company. I mean, unless you want to tear down a bunch of stuff, which is what the Trump administration wants to do. By the way, unless on the last minute, we have a minute? We have half a minute. We want to congratulate the president of Venezuela on his inauguration, and we're very pleased that he gave a great speech and that he, at the end of his speech, he said, Viva Mexico. And we say the same. There is a new president in Mexico, and he is not joining the Lima group. He is not going to go down the road of bothering Venezuela. And whereas the Canadian government has gone over, once again, over the top. It's not a, it's now a dictatorship, et cetera. Well, it's what it is, but there are dictatorships all over the world Canada never complains about. So we understand it has nothing to do with dictatorship. It has everything to do with the fact that he's running the government, holding on to Venezuela's oil and not giving it to Exxon and other people. So that's why he's in trouble. By the way, you want to talk about trouble. Why aren't we speaking out for the imprisoned former president of Brazil, probably the most popular president in Brazil's history? He's in jail. Meanwhile, there's a fascist running Brazil, and Ms. Freeland will be flying back and forth and having her tight little smile picture with him. It's, and that's not a happy picture. You've been listening to the Taylor Report. We're online, Facebook, and SoundCloud, I've heard. And Phil is on Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m., Classical Underground. And thank you, Mikhail. See you next week.